Support comes from the Norton Simon Museum, presenting I Saw It, Francisco de Goya, Printmaker. This exhibition features all four of the Spanish artists' major print series in their entirety for the first time on the West Coast. Now on view. More at NortonSimon.org.
You have the chance to win a Spring Super Sweeps from LAist. Donate $60 for one entry to win a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Check out all the other prizes, too, when you donate now at LAist.com/sweeps.
Hiya, folks. Welcome to the Sunday edition of the LA Report. I'm Julia Paskin, and on today's show, more on our new hidden curriculum series. College Pathways reporter Jill Replogle introduces us to a blind woman who didn't know if college was an option for her, but is now a first-year graduate student. Then the story of one server from Miami who, little by little, landed herself a scholarship, mentors, and a path to her dream film school. But first, here's what's happening in LA for Sunday, May 15th. A vigil is being held this morning for the victims killed in yesterday's racist attack in Buffalo, New York. A self-described white supremacist is in custody after live-streaming an attack on 13 people. 10 were killed. Leaders from groups such as the Los Angeles Urban Policy Roundtable are speaking outside the Dunbar Hotel in South LA at 10 a.m., and organizers say they're calling on state lawmakers to pass a stalled gun control bill. A man was killed yesterday afternoon in a shooting near Grand Central Market in downtown L.A. The victim's name has not been released. Videos on social media show patrons of the food hall running in a panic. LAPD officer Drake Madison tells KPCC the shooting was reported from outside on Hill and 3rd Street just before 4 p.m. In a statement, Grand Central Market says the market tenants and guests are all safe. Police are investigating the details of the shooting and are looking for a male shooter. At 9 a.m., yesterday morning, an emergency alert went out in L.A. County to residents hitting smartphones with a loud alarm and calling for an evacuation of Chevy Chase Canyon in Glendale, but the message failed to mention the evacuation was only a drill. A correction was issued about a half hour later. Glendale Fire Chief Silvio Lanza says the message went out. It wasn't the one that they approved.
I personally looked at the message that actually was crafted by the author, and it did say in the header, "This is a drill." However, that did not go out as part of the message.
The alert was supposed to go to Canyon residents only, but Lanza says a complication in the mapping system sent it out countywide. But he says drills are meant to identify errors in the system.
We would rather make these mistakes today when there's no smoke in the sky, there's no mass chaos from people trying to evacuate the canyon.
Lanza's personally apologizes, but adds that he hopes it gets people in L.A. County talking about their own evacuation plans so they're ready for an emergency. More residents around Laguna Niguel have been allowed back in their homes as firefighters get more control over the coastal fire. 71 homes are still under evacuation order, but that's down from 900. The fire has stalled at 200 acres. Containment is up to 60% on last report. And the Griffith Observatory is hosting a viewing party for tonight's total lunar eclipse. It's called a blood moon because the eclipse often turns the moon to a reddish color. Amateur astronomers set up their telescopes, some that are really impressive, on the lawn there, and they're keen on answering your questions and letting you take a peek at the eclipse up close. But Griffith Observatory President Ed Krupp says you can see the eclipse just fine with your eyes alone.
Here in Southern California, the eclipse starts before the moon actually rises. So it rises partly eclipsed and then just continues to get higher in the sky and over the course of the next few hours goes into total eclipse and then emerges again.
And in honor of many traditions from around the world that believed lunar eclipses were caused by mythical creatures taking a bite out of the moon, Krupp says observatory staff will perform a dragon banishing ceremony, including banging drums to scare it away.
Then, of course, you have to have the magical incantation, which is dragon be gone, and that chant has to persist. And then, of course, you need a dragon, and we have the dragon, too.
The full eclipse takes about 3 hours. The moon will be totally in the Earth's shadow around 8:30 tonight. And I've been over to the Griffith Observatory when all those amateur astronomers are out. It is super cool. There's this term, hidden curriculum, and it's used to describe all the things you have to learn to be successful in college that aren't explicitly taught in a classroom. And learning that hidden curriculum can be especially hard for students who are underrepresented in higher education. So we're going to hear from some of these students to get their insider tips and tricks for navigating college. Recently, College Pathways reporter Jill Replogle spoke to a functionally blind woman who didn't know if college was an option, and now she's a first-year graduate student.
I wish that bare minimum that every disabled student, if they're interested in going to college, gets a yes, congrats, let's do it. And also know that they're going to need help and support to make a place there. My name is Tatum Tricarico and I'm 23 years old. Are you cool if I do like a little image description? It's something that disabled spaces do so that it makes it more inclusive for people who can't see. I am a white woman with long brown hair and glasses, and I'm sitting in front of a white wall with a desk and a disability pride flag in the background, which has a black background and zigzag colored stripes down the middle. I had always planned on going to college, I think because that's what everybody says you got to do. And then my vision changed about halfway through high school. It started to hurt to use my eyes at all. And so reading and watching TV and being on the computer and anything that takes eye motion, which is like everything related to sight, causes a lot of pain. And so I have to function as blind. So I'm considered functionally blind. And I think that's when we kind of started to like doubt if it was going to be able to happen. Should I be doing community college? Should I be going to a school for the blind? Is higher education even an option? And I was like, no, I'm going to a four-year, like that's going to happen. Accessibility was a big thing, and I just don't think I knew exactly what that meant. Once I applied to schools, I called their disability resource center and I was like, what can you give me? And I learned very quickly that they can't actually tell you what they can give you. They can only tell you what they've given to people in the past. Once you've committed, they can tell you what accommodations you're allowed to have. So I called them and I was like, what have you given in the past? And like felt okay about it and just really had not paid enough attention to if the campus was accessible, if housing was accessible, if classes were going to be accessible, if they had ever had blind students before. So I figured I would get everything in Braille and then have audio backups. And those were kind of going to be my two main accommodations. It takes 2 weeks to get stuff in Braille, and my school was not ready. They tried multiple different types of audio stuff. None of them were able to get me access to my materials on time in a way that would actually work. Like in a lot of ways, I just really like fell flat on my face my freshman year. I didn't know that I would need a professor in my corner in undergrad. Like it did not occur to me. Find your professor. I would even say know a little bit of the disability law. You're required by law to get a reasonable and effective accommodation. Reasonable is mostly for the school, so it can't provide an undue burden on the school. It can't give you an unfair advantage, but it also has to be effective for you. So knowing how I need to access my education, like I just have to be significantly more aware of that and ready to say like, these are the things that I need. It doesn't have to just be disabled people asking for spaces to be accessible. Like if you're in a space and you're like, this isn't wheelchair accessible, it's on everyone to be like, hey, this isn't wheelchair accessible. Can somebody fix it?
Serving at restaurants through her 20s was wearing thin on Sammy Zeno's. She dropped out of high school as a sophomore, got her GED at 16, found a job, and started community college at 17. But Zeno's flunked her first two semesters, lost her financial aid, and dropped out of college. She went back more than a decade later, taking classes when she could afford it at her local community college in the Miami suburbs. She kept dreaming of a life beyond waiting tables, and little by little, Zeno started to build the momentum that would eventually land her a scholarship, mentors, and a path to USC's acclaimed film school. With more of Zeno's story, once again, here's Jill Replogle.
Sammy Zenos dreamed of going to the University of Southern California, but she couldn't see a way to get there with a GED and a community college transcript pocked with poor grades. For our series, Hidden Curriculum, Sammy talks about the long journey to her dream school.
I knew coming in that I wanted to be a screenwriting minor. I wanted to come to UC just to get into the film school and learn how to write for television and film. So that's been like a dream come true.
My name is Sammy Zenos, and what I say is I'm a non-traditional student. I'm about like 10 to 12 years older than some of my classmates sometimes. I was a high school dropout, and I was a waitress for a really, really long time. And you start to ask yourself, you know, is this what I want to do for the rest of my life? I decided to go back to school and to just take a semester when I could, because I couldn't go to school every semester because I had to pay out of pocket. It's got really bad grades the first time I went into those first couple semesters of community college, but it starts to build and get like this momentum. I never even thought about applying to scholarship before, but my professor was like, I'll help you in whatever way I can. Let's keep you in school. I won a scholarship. So it's the Point Foundation LGBT scholarship. And they held like this thing called a transfer symposium where they teach like low-income LGBTQ students to navigate the transfer process, whether it's like personal statements, supplemental essays. Learning that there was a way to go to school was where I kind of allowed myself to start dreaming. And then now that I had all this information, I felt like I was planning, I wasn't dreaming. I was just really waiting on that USC decision, and my girlfriend got hers the day before mine. And she got in, and I didn't get in. And I was actually like crushed. And there was that voice in my head that was just kind of like, oh, you know, you knew that you weren't gonna get in. But I knew that there was like this one last sort of like ditch effort. You can appeal. I was a little ballsy, but in my appeal, I was like, I'm certain that I'm going to be a very successful writer one day, and it would be a huge mistake to overlook me now. I had to really let them know, you know, I'm ready. I plan to have a 4.0 at the next institution that I attend. And we were just sitting at the dinner table, and then all of a sudden, congratulations, like you got in. It just felt like this really great, like full arc that I completed. I was worried that the classes were gonna be really hard. And I do feel like it's a lot more challenging in some ways, but it's not harder than anything that I can manage. How do you make friends? I get that question a lot from non-traditional students, but I try not to draw that line and separate myself. I learned something really valuable in my acting classes. When you meet somebody, try and treat them like they're a friend that you've had for the last 20 years. And you'll see how people kind of like melt that guard that they have down. I have another secret that I learned just halfway through my degree that I wish I had used sooner. Every semester, when registration rolls out and they got all those classes and the teachers' names are on them, look them up. Maybe they have a LinkedIn or something. That's a potential mentor. That's a potential lifelong friend. That's a potential letter of recommendation if you're being strategic. And I kept my promise. I have a 4.0 GPA, and it just feels really awesome to be that happy.
Hey, thanks for listening to this Sunday edition of the LA Report. Suzanne Watley and Nick Roman will be back tomorrow with the weekday morning and afternoon editions. Until then, friends, hope you have a good one. I'm Julia Paskin.
This program is made possible in part by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, a private corporation funded by the American people. The LAist Spring Super Sweeps is happening now. You can win amazing prizes while supporting your source for local, fact-based journalism.
one lucky grand prize winner will get to choose a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Other prizes include an electric bike from Juice Bikes and $1,000 gas gift cards. Your donation of $60 gets you one entry to win. And the more you give, the more entries you get. Donate now at LAist.com/sweeps.